Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by nobody. This is kind of a surprise episode with some fairly exciting news. I'm going to get to that here in a second, and it's kind of freewheeling, and there's a ton to get to. You guys know where to find the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, and Silver Screen and Roll. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA, and you can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. Let's get straight to this update, or to this bit of an announcement. Usually this time of year, I do shows, you know, three shows a week up until maybe a week or two before training camp as we start to get a little bit more news. That's not going to be the case this year, though, and this is where, you know, I'm going to need your guys' help. I'm going to need maybe a few more questions a week on iTunes. I'm going to need some more interaction on maybe on Twitter, and that'll give me some stuff. I'll hop on Reddit every so often, where I am extremely popular. I'll hop on there for some stuff to talk about. But basically, you guys are going from waiting until, I would say, mid-September for five shows a week to getting them starting effectively, starting immediately. I'm going to start giving you five shows a week. That means an extra show of Pete. I'm going to hop out there and really start putting myself out there for some extra guests. And the reason for all of this is because I am embarking on a partnership with Ease. It's a... I'll have more on that company, and I'll have official verbiage on that as we get deeper into this partnership. So I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. But basically what I'm going to do to fill the shows that I need to fill here is just basically release player previews. I did player reviews at the end of last year, and they did quite well. You guys seem to really enjoy that, and it's going to be a very similar format here, where I'm going to start by talking about expectations, how they played last year, kind of look back on that, and offer up as much context heading into next year as I possibly can. In the second segment, I'm probably going to get into the individual expectations, because there's, with any kind of expectation, there's the team construct and there's the individual construct. And so the second segment is going to be the individual aspect of what a player needs to accomplish next season in order to have a successful next year. And then I'm going to look into how their individual success fits in the team construct and how they fit there with the new additions, and it's going to go. I've kind of debated. I've gone back and forth on this. I'm just going to jump right into it and offer up the bigger names right from the get go. That means they're out there longer and they're out there sooner. So I'm not gonna force people to wait around for bigger previews later in the year. We're gonna start right off with a bang. I'm not going to talk about it tonight or today. By the time everybody is listening to this, I'm going to, hopefully Pete and I are going to record tomorrow, and we're going to start with LeBron, and we're going to go from LeBron to Lonzo or Ingram, however the order goes from there. But it's going to go in kind of descending order in terms of player impact and what type of expectations we have for that guy. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. For the remainder of this show, though, what I'm going to do, and it's going to be a little bit shorter of a show. I don't have as much content to get to here, but there were a couple questions in yesterday's mailbag that I wanted to spend a little bit more time on. So and there are some questions in there that I hope I'll be able to get to with Pete, and maybe I'll spend, you know, a few minutes at the end of segments with Pete moving forward in the week. But there's a question that I wasn't able to get to because I was going to save it for Pete, but we got this news. So I'm going to give up this answer this question in segment two, And then in segment three, I'm gonna go back, and I wanted to look again at that hypothetical question about the veterans versus the young guys and the dynamic and how that's going to work. Because in my opinion, it's going to be one of the deciding factors of the way the season might play out is how the coaching staff handles that dynamic between veterans and young guys and how typical locker rooms work in the NBA. So I still am going to have what I think is going to be a really fun show for you guys. It's just going to be a little shorter today because, well, I have a lot of work to do to get ready for these player previews. So hang tight for a second. We'll come back and I'm going to answer a question here from Saul the Kid about my top five Los Angeles sports figures. And they don't have to be athletes. So you guys might get a little bit of a hint as to where this might go. We'll get to that here in a bit. All right, so it's tough when you're defining greatness or impact. Owners are always going to have a bigger impact on owners or executives or in a couple of these cases, voices are going to have a bit of a bigger impact because they can stick around longer, right? Like as a player, you have a finite length of time that you're going to be a player, right? And it tends to be a lot shorter than somebody owns a basketball team or a baseball team or whatever. So to start this thing, my number one sports figure in Los Angeles is Dr. Jerry Buss. He completely reinvigorated the league. He was at the forefront of just about every topic that helped the NBA become as popular as it was over the course of his owning the Lakers. He made some insanely baller moves. One of my favorite stories regarding Dr. Jerry Buss was they had Marvin Gaye sing the national anthem. I believe it was for an All-Star game at the old Great Western Forum. And Marvin Gaye did this rendition of it that did not sound as it would, it didn't roll with the same kind of format that you would think of when somebody sings a national anthem. And usually there's more to lose than to gain in that respect. Fergie had her rendition that had people legitimately laughing while they were listening to it. I remember in Boston, James Taylor had a version of the national anthem that I really didn't like. It was just really boring. But Marvin Gaye steps up and he belts out this version of it and was met with some criticism by some of the owners and some of the people who heard this asked him, like, what the hell were you doing? All we asked you to do was sing the song that everybody knows how it goes. What are you doing out there? It stood the test of time. It is my favorite rendition of the song, and it was incredible. And Marvin Gaye apparently was in the hallways in the deep tunnels of the Great Western Forum, and runs into none other than Dr. Jerry Buss. And Dr. Jerry Buss, I believe, was rocking his sunglasses. He has that kind of smile that lights up a room. And he meets with Marvin Gaye, and Marvin has his head down. He's like, dude, what's the problem, dude? That was incredible. That was great. And Gaye kind of tells him, oh, man, people really didn't like it. They're really kind of angry at me over it. And pardon my French here, but Dr. Jerry Buss goes, well, fuck those people. It was great. That was incredible. What you did was really good. That was incredible art. And my favorite kind of basketball clip that I try to send out there every July 4th has to do with Marvin Gaye singing that song. And in 2008, I believe it was, with the Redeem Team, they kind of showed those guys warming up and practicing and getting ready to head out and represent this country. And it's set to Marvin Gaye's version of the song. And I kind of rambled on this, but that just kind of perfectly sums up Dr. Jerry Buss. He was always ahead of his time. His impact on the entire city of Los Angeles is indelible. It's inarguable. He is the greatest sports figure in the history of the city. And it's quite a history. Continuing with that was Walter O'Malley, who brought the Dodgers over from Brooklyn and got them all set up out here. But he's kind of an honorable mention, to be completely honest. The Dodgers don't have quite the, now they do have an incredible cultural history, obviously, and they were, I mean, it was the nation's pastime when they came over here. It was a huge deal and really set the tone for what Los Angeles hoped to be when it comes to sports. But for me personally, he's kind of more of an honorable mention. But the one guy I do think that needs to go down in L.A. history, Los Angeles history with sports figures is Vin Scully. And I'm going to group him with Chick Hearn. Those two guys are kind of tied for second place. So 2A, 2B. For me, and I mean, they both just completely, they to me, they are the voice of my childhood. They helped ignite my passion for the sport that I have kind of devoted a good chunk of my life to cover. I covered the Dodgers for a bit there for Dodgers Nation. I cover currently, obviously, I cover the Lakers, and there was a time where I considered doing Locked On Dodgers, but both teams, the Lakers and Dodgers, made up my childhood. I remember waking up. I'll tell a story about Vin Scully. I told the story about Chick Hearn on last episode with Pete, where we talked about our favorite non-titles Lakers memories. You guys are going to want to go check that out. That was really fun. But with Vin Scully, I remember, I forget who, I think the Dodgers were playing like the Phillies. And the game was going to, it was going to end past my bedtime. So I was sent up to bed, and my bed was basically right down the hall from my folks. At this time I was an only child. My little brothers weren't born yet. And I was sitting there in my bedroom, just kind of listening to the call of the game, which was great because Vin Scully was so great at painting the picture, painting the portrait of each and every Dodgers game, but also listening to my dad and his reactions of it. So I'm sitting there, and the game gets forced to extra innings. And my dad kind of walks down the hallway, and I just sprint to my bed, and I hop in, and I cover myself all the way, just like kids do, to try to convince their parents that they were sleeping. To no avail in this case. I was quite obviously still awake, and I tried to do like, "Oh, what, Dad? I'm sorry." And nope, Dad didn't buy it. He said, "Now, come on, you're up anyway." So I walked into my parents' bedroom, and I sat there at the foot of the bed with my mom and dad on each side of me, and we watched this Dodger game. And I remember this specifically, where Vin Scully says, "And to those of you children whose parents allowed them to stay up, welcome back to the game." And it was just, it was incredible. As a kid, I thought he was speaking directly to me. He could have said, "And to Anthony Irwin, welcome back to Dodgers baseball." And I would have just, I would have been just as floored, to be completely honest. But yes, Vin Scully, Chick Hearn to me are the 2A, 2B sports figures in Los Angeles sports history. Next up on the list that I have here is Magic Johnson. And he not just for what he did for the Lakers and for the NBA, but as somebody whose younger brother is dealing with HIV, he to me represents, and my brother is in, you know, the HIV's version of recession, and because of the incredible research that has gone into fighting this disease, my brother is still around. He's still very healthy. I love him dearly. And so Magic Johnson, to me, because of the way he's fought this disease and was very public in his support of any kind of research of HIV and AIDS, he, in my opinion, in an indirect way, has saved my little brother's life. And for that, I cannot possibly thank him enough. And what he's done for inner cities and what he represents as the businessman, for a long time, people didn't think that people of color could be as successful as Magic Johnson has been. because of the color of their skin, and he has done a ton to prove that inarguably wrong. So Magic Johnson comes in at number three. Well, I guess technically it's four because of the tie with Chick Hearn and Vin Scully, and number five on this list for me is. And honestly, you asked me the same question 5 days from now, tomorrow, whatever. I could reorder it, but it, Jackie Robinson and what he's done to, I mean, he dispelled every to, and dispelled it in a way that was again inarguable, and that's kind of what people of color have always had to do is we've had to. Prove to everybody who might doubt us and make it to a point where there is no argument here. Your bigotry was stupid and it was wrong and it was false. And Jackie Robinson doing that the way he did on the baseball field, Magic Johnson doing that in the business arena the way he has, those people have opened up doors for millions to follow through them, and it's great that Los Angeles gets to house some of this. Jackie Robinson, my grandpa watched Jackie Robinson play football at UCLA. Kind of cool story there. All right, we're going to take a quick second, and when we come back, I will get to more of this conversation that was kind of started last night about the kids and the veterans, and I'll have a quick few minute spiel there, and send you off into the rest of your Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday evening, whenever you're listening to this, and yeah, let's wrap this thing up. So. Yesterday, a question was asked in the mailbag about the kids and the veterans, and if you basically put LeBron on a team with the kids and filled out their roster with league average guys, and you had that team play against LeBron and the veterans and league average guys, which team would come out on top? I said that I think the young guys team would not just fit better, but I think are in general better players than their veteran counterparts. And that kind of gets to, and I've said this a couple times over the course of the summer, but that touches on, to me, the most important, now that we know that LeBron, and he kind of joked about it the other day, that Luke told him he wants him to play the five, so we put out that Photoshop picture with huge arms, and he kind of laughed about it. That, to a certain extent, was confirmation that he's open to playing that position. But now that we know that, to me, the biggest factor in the Lakers' ceiling and capability this year is going to be how the coaching staff handles the dynamic between veterans and young guys. And typically, and this has started to change over the last few years as we've seen rookies be able to step up in big moments. But typically, over the course of NBA history, we have seen veterans get a little bit more leeway, right? They have a little bit more rope to make mistakes or you know, maybe not play as hard, whatever. They basically get graded on a softer curve than young guys. When a young guy makes a mistake, coaches seem to notice that a little bit more. And with the Lakers' last coach, before Luke Walton, that was the case to the nth degree. Right. And so it's going to be interesting and it's going to be telling how Luke Walton handles this. And like I said, I think I think Lonzo Ball is a better player over the course of an 82 game season than Rondo will be next year. Now, maybe in a 7-game series, Rondo is better, or maybe Rondo is better in bigger moments or for shorter stretches than Lonzo is. I mean, Rondo's a borderline Hall of Famer, right? So maybe in those shorter stretches, Rondo is the safer hand to go to there. But over the course of 82 games, I think Lonzo is going to make a bigger impact on this team than Rondo will. I think the same kind of situation might play out between KCP and Josh Hart. I think Josh Hart is capable of a ton that KCP may not be able to do. Now, KCP isn't quite you know, he isn't as old as Rondo, and he isn't necessarily your typical veteran. He's kind of in that kind of in-between age where he's, you start to look at him as a veteran compared to some of the younger guys on the team, but he isn't like a full-on old guy in the same way that like JaVale or Rondo or even Lance might be. Although Lance might be younger than the other guys. But anywho, Kate, I think Josh Hart is more capable of switching down the lineup than KCP is. Now, maybe KCP moves his feet better so he can switch up the lineup. If he's playing shooting guard, you might feel more comfortable in moments where he's guarding a point guard than you would with Josh Hart, who doesn't move as laterally quite as well as KCP does. But Hart being able to slide down and take punishment from fours, I don't think he can go down there and take punishment from fives, but when he can go down there and take punishment from fours and not give ground there, and he looked even bigger in Vegas than he was last year, that's a really valuable thing. And being able to shoot the way that he shot last year, he started to show some creative chops in Las Vegas that I don't think very many thought he was capable of. So you know, it wouldn't surprise me if over the course of the year people start saying, I actually think Hart is a better player than KCP. And then Ingram, there is no Ingram equivalent. Like, technically, I guess it would be Lance Stephenson, but nobody thinks Lance is as good as Ingram or as talented as Ingram. So that's a non-starter there. And then Kuzma, same kind of thing goes for Kuzma and Lance, really. I you guys know this. I'm not really a Lance guy on or off the court. But with both Ingram and Kuzma, I like the way that both those guys fit over Lance. And now it depends on how you're going to define this. So if the kids are going to have LeBron at the five and have a Lonzo, Hart, Ingram, Kuzma, and James lineup, then one, that's a really fun lineup. Or two, if they aren't going to go in that direction and maybe slide Zubats in there as your more traditional center and maybe take Kuzma out and play LeBron at the four, then maybe that makes a little bit more traditional sense. So you're comparing that against a lineup of Rondo, KCP, Lance, LeBron, and JaVale, or maybe Lance, or maybe Beasley slides in there and he's a small ball five. But no matter what, like I just think the kids lineup is a little bit more logical than the lineup that you would see of a veteran team with LeBron. And again, typically in the NBA, the guy who's making more money gets a little bit more leeway. The guy who's been around a little bit longer gets more leeway than younger or cheaper counterparts. That's started to shift a little bit over the last few years or so as rookies are stepping up in ways that they really haven't. And teams are starting to learn how much value there is when you can have a guy in a rookie contract really produce beyond the value of that contract. So maybe the Lakers handle that situation like that. But I do think those who are concerned about how Luke handles Lance Stephenson versus, say, Kuzma, I don't think they're completely off base there. For those who were concerned about the way Luke or the front office especially favors KCP over, say, Josh Hart because of the clutch thing and because KCP is older and is making more money, like that's a thing that happens all the time in NBA locker rooms. Like that's just kind of how that works. So if Luke kind of sheds that narrative early on and gives the kids at least as much leeway as their veteran counterparts, I think this Lakers team has a lot. It has an insanely high ceiling. But if we don't see that necessarily, or if Luke kind of rides the veterans more, maybe the team has a higher floor, but they certainly have a significantly lower ceiling than they would if they relied on the kids. All right, that'll do it though for this episode of Locked On Lakers. When we come back tomorrow, I'm going to talk to Pete about what we hope to see from LeBron. both in the individual construct and the team construct, how we got here, all of that good stuff. Thanks to Ease, and I'll have more on that, on the relationship between Locked On Lakers and Ease. We have a couple more local sponsors that are kicking off here soon. If you guys haven't, if you guys are in charge of businesses or have any ideas for businesses that you think might make sense to get the sponsor shout out or treatment on this show, let me know. Shoot me with an email or let me know on Twitter. And when these local ads start kicking off, look, it helps me keep the lights on here. The more we support these companies that are willing to support Locked On Lakers, the longer this thing can go, and the more of my time I can devote to this without having to worry about an actual big boy job. So when these things get kicked off, please continue to support those companies in the way that those companies continue to support me, and we'll keep this thing going. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.